The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. We've got a lot to get to on today's program. Coming up in the second segment, we're going to be talking about the God family plan, the heart of the gospel message that Jesus Christ preached 2,000 years ago. And we'll sprinkle in some comments from a football player. I believe he just retired a few months ago. But I didn't know too much about him until just this week when I stumbled upon his speech from the CPAC conference this past weekend. He had some really powerful things to say about the family, and we'll tie in some of his comments, as I say, with some comments that you're probably much more familiar with coming from Herbert W. Armstrong and some of the writings of his over the years. Well, on yesterday's show, I talked a fair bit about the breakdown of civilization. And really, when you look at the headlines each day, you could almost produce a show like that. Every single day, you see what's featured right now at the top of the Drudge Report, this record immigration surge at the border, and how that the number is steadily rising. It has been since 2015. And the border security officials, the U.S. Security agents, they're at the border. They're making more arrests than ever before. And this article quotes one of them as saying that they're at a breaking point. And there's no end in sight. There's no real solution. The situation is not sustainable. Customs and Border Protection Commissioner Kevin McCallanan said on Tuesday, the system is well beyond capacity and remains at a breaking point. So here we are, and people just streaming in, tens of thousands, every single year. Tuesday, yesterday afternoon, the White House said that these numbers reflect an ever-worsening crisis. And of course, the White House wants to build a border security wall or fence. And because it's the White House, because it's Donald Trump, he's meeting strong resistance from the media, from the Democrats, not from ordinary Americans, but he's meeting strong resistance from his enemies, and he has lots of them. On Monday, the House Judiciary Chairman, Jerry Nadler, this made quite a few headlines yesterday. The document requests for 81 individuals or businesses, corporations connected to the White House or connected in any way to the Trump campaign. 81 requests for information. And if they don't get the information, I suppose the subpoenas will follow. But the House Judiciary Committee, he's already stated that President Trump has obstructed justice. There's no proof of this. They've moved on to obstruction of justice because there's no truth to the collusion hoax. And so now they move on, and they've already decided that the president's a criminal. They've already decided that he's guilty. And so they make all these requests. There was another story, by the way, where Adam Schiff, he's another one of the ringleaders, he's hired an MSNBC analyst who also has already decided that Donald Trump is a criminal. And so they're going into their so-called investigation absolutely sure that crimes have been committed. They don't care about the evidence. They don't care about the facts. They care about removing the president from office. This is what the House Judiciary Chairman had to say. I believe this might have been Monday night, clip 4.
The special prosecutor has a specific mandate to investigate only the Russian interference with the election and possible collusion by the Trump administration or anybody else with that interference with the election, and only to look at crimes. The Southern District of New York also only looks at crimes. We have to look at a much broader question. We have to look. Our job is to protect the rule of law in this country.
So he's leading an investigation that's much broader, he said in that interview. This is not like the special prosecutor. This is not like the Southern District of New York. They're looking at crimes. We've got a much broader sweep here. And he went on to talk about what they're looking for: corruption, personal enrichment, the violation of the Emoluments Clause, an abuse of power, President Trump's attack on the press, the judiciary, his attacks on law enforcement agents, obstruction of justice, all the interference in the investigations that have been going on for more than 2 years. So that's what they'll be going after. And President Trump yesterday was quick to respond via Twitter, and also he made this statement. This is a clip two.
I guess we got 81 letters. There was no collusion. That was a hoax. There was no anything. And they want to do that instead of getting legislation passed. 81 people or organizations got letters. It's a disgrace. It's a disgrace to our country. I'm not surprised that it's happening. Basically, they've started the campaign. So the campaign begins. But the campaign's actually, their campaign's been going on for the last 2.5 years. So it's a shame. And the people understand it. When they look at it, they just say presidential harassment.
And it's going to continue, as he brought out. 2.5 years it's been going on, and this will continue. This is their campaign. This is their campaign, their 2020 campaign slogan. Impeach President Trump. Get him out of office. Today, tomorrow, whenever. And they're not over the 2016 election. He went on to say that, clip three.
What the Democrats want to do, they cannot stand the loss. They could not stand losing in 2016. I see it all the time. I see people getting on. I saw a certain person get up yesterday, the anger. And they just haven't gotten used to the fact that we won a lot of states that haven't been won by Republicans in a long time.
He's right on with that. So much anger, so much rage and hatred, family division, sickness from within, die by suicide, as Abraham Lincoln once said. This is what's happening. Sickness from head to toe, Isaiah 1. Buck Sexton at the Hill, he's the one that pointed out that as the collusion case collapses, there's nothing there, it's a hoax. Now they go in all these other directions. He said, in a sane world, a lot of prominent voices on the left in both politics and media would be held accountable for stoking such partisan mass hysteria in our country. They'd be held to account. Look, what you've been saying for 2 years, there was no truth to it. How many panels? How many news reports? How many written reports? How many leaks? How many statements? Flat out. He worked with Vladimir Putin to rig the election for 2 years. There's nothing to it, and the president keeps saying that. But will these voices, will these commentators, will these politicians be held to account for stoking such partisan mass hysteria? Sexton says, how can the same Democrats and journalists who have been alleging for 2 years without evidence that the president is a criminal and a traitor come to terms with the reality of the hoax they have perpetrated out of petty partisan spite? They will not, as they already have, they already have plans to move on to the next narrative, the next narrative con. This is where the obstruction comes into play. He says Democrats have made it clear that, unable to prove the primary charges they used to hobble a presidency for 2 years, their follow-up act will be to open new investigations and chase other charges around obstruction. And then he says it was really the Justice Department that has obstructed Trump. It's just the opposite of what they've been saying over and over and over. They're trying to obstruct. This is a deep state that's going after the president of the United States. And it is, to some degree, it's being exposed, and yet they continue right on. The playback of the playbook, rather, of Democrats has been obvious all along. They are merely weaponizing the investigative and prosecutorial functions of government for partisan ends under the guise of congressional oversight. Moreover, once Democrats tire of sermonizing under the Capitol dome and about the threat of obstruction, they will move along to his tax returns, business dealings, dangerously ample girth, or whatever else they can dream up. Just anything and everything. And so here come these 81 requests for information. President Trump's former secretaries, his children, all of his children. Everyone's a target. Anyone who's associated with him. Anyone that was associated with the campaign. Anyone that was associated with the inauguration. Sexton says here, whatever one thinks of Trump, the ploys to take him down are not without cost. For anyone paying attention, it is hard to overstate the damage done to the credibility of federal institutions like the Justice Department in the scorched earth effort to end his presidency. They're just fine. They're willing to see the country go up in flames so long as they can return to power. That's the aim. There's a total breakdown at the border, the southern border of the United States. There's all these other headlines going on around the world. China modernizing its military. China increasing its budget defense. Its spending on the military. Japan's commissioned a new anti-submarine warfare destroyer. That's in the Diplomat today. There's another one in the Diplomat about India and Russia signing a $3 billion nuclear sub deal. That happened this week. You're seeing the rise of the kings of the East. And of course, Europe is scurrying to build its own military to separate from the United States, that protective NATO umbrella, and to go it alone with Germany in the driver's seat. All of this happening together with what I discussed yesterday, just the evil, the widespread evil and violence. We'll talk more about that here in just a moment with respect to the violence, the knife crime happening right here in the UK. But look at what these Democrats in the House are obsessed with. Even as we look at our world and we see much of it going up in flames. This was Andrew Napolitano on Fox yesterday commenting on this investigation led by Gerald Nadler, clip one.
It is not specific what Jerry Nadler is looking for, and the president is right. This is almost literally a witch hunt. They're looking for anything they can find. Look, let's go to another committee. The chair of the House Ways and Means Committee has the power under a federal statute, most people don't know this, to get any citizen's tax returns. You, me, people watching us now, or the president of the United States, without a reason. They're going to go there. What do they need his tax returns for? To embarrass him, to humiliate him, to taunt him, to drive him crazy, because that's what they think their base wants him to do.
Think about what the president has said previously, and also my father. If they can do this, and this is all funded by the taxpayers of the United States, Americans, Jerry Nadler's got a blank check. And all of these people on the list of 81, they're now going to have to lawyer up. They're going to have to get representatives. The cost, and then how many individual lives are going to be destroyed, just like with what we've seen in the Mueller investigation. And all on the taxpayer's dime. They're not even specifying what they're looking for. It's just a long list of anything and everything that they can dig up. And they're already convinced going in. Adam Schiff, Jerry Nadler, they're convinced that Donald Trump is a criminal. It's a civilization, it's a society on the verge of collapse, as I discussed yesterday. You can listen to that podcast at thetrumpet.com and at kpcg.fm. A society on the verge of collapse. Here in the UK, as I mentioned, they had a special report on Monday night on Channel 4 about the shocking rise of knife crime, knife attacks in London and actually all over the UK, Birmingham, mostly in the bigger cities. But young people that feel like they have to carry knives because there's so many criminals carrying knives. And that's what's happening in the city of London. Here's a bit from that Monday night special from Channel 4, clip 5.
In South London last night, a 16-year-old boy died in front of his
school. Yesterday afternoon, a 17-year-old boy died after being stabbed outside.
Five young people died in stabbing attacks in London.
Last year, 76 people were reportedly stabbed to death in the capital. 306 in the UK as a whole. Scenes like this showing terrifying knife violence on our streets became all too familiar.
Did you see people getting stabbed?
With a reported 23 children among those killed in stabbings throughout the country.
Just leave, man, leave. Leave, bro.
When I was commissioner, we initially saw a reduction in violence, including knife crime.
The idea is to make the criminals fear the police and what they're doing now.
However, it's risen since then and over the last year.
The rise in knife crime is worrying, and I want to understand why is that happening? More importantly, what can we do to stop the killings?
That's from a special report on Channel 4 from Monday night. What can we do to stop this? There's an alarming escalation in knife attacks. There was a column in The Telegraph this morning written by this woman who has a teenage son, 17 years old, I think he is, and she said he's tiring of hearing her plead with him before he leaves. They live in London, I guess. Make sure that if you come upon a bad situation, that you take off and run. Don't get into a fist fight. Otherwise, someone will pull a knife on you. If someone pulls up a knife and demands your iPhone, give them the phone and run. These are the lectures that teenagers need from their parents if they're going to live in the city of London. This special talked about, again, just the alarming rise over the past few years. This is just in the last year or two, clip 6.
Dispatcher's analysis of NHS data in England shows there's been a 93% rise in the number of 16-year-olds and under being treated for stab wounds in the last 5 years.
What is happening to our young people? A 93% rise. Teenagers. This woman that wrote the column at The Telegraph, she made the point that more young people are opting to carry knives themselves. That's illegal, by the way. But they're more afraid of dying or being attacked by a knife than they are of getting arrested by the police for carrying a knife. One final bit from that Monday night program, clip 7.
The government doesn't make available figures for police recorded knife crime by age. So dispatchers sent freedom of information requests to all police forces in England and Wales. From the responses we received, we can compare data from 2016 to 2018. It shows that offenders identified as under 18 for murder and manslaughter using a knife rose by 77%. For rape and sexual assault using a knife by under 18s rose by 38%. And robbery offences with a knife rose by over 50%.
That's over the course of a 3-year period, 2016 to 2018. You see these increases, 77%, 38%, 52%. And it's within that young demographic, 15, 16, 17-year-olds, under 18. Well, there was another story at the Telegraph, police officers calling for emergency stop and search powers. They've seen some of those powers reduced in recent years thanks to political correctness. Well, we can't offend a minority group, so we'll just stop with the search powers altogether. And then we see these exploding problems of knife crime all over the place. It's like I said yesterday, you stamp out one problem and three more rise in its place. A civilization on the verge of collapse. The Telegraph says emergency stop and search powers for the police need to be introduced across the country in order to stem the knife crime epidemic. They're calling it an epidemic now. And as I say, this goes beyond London. The Telegraph says now following another deadly weekend, which saw two 17-year-olds stabbed to death in Manchester and Birmingham, police leaders are calling for the measures to be rolled out nationally. The breakdown in our family, we'll talk about that next here in just a moment. That's behind all of the, if you want to get to root causes, here is the root cause of the problem. Here's the root cause of so many of our problems. A total breakdown in the family. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. If you'd like to email the program, you can send comments to td@kpcg.fm. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily.
To America's founding fathers, character meant everything to the success of the nation and its leadership. The Constitution was based upon the fundamental principles of religion and morality. These were the primary building blocks of the American nation. George Washington said, "The foundations of our national policy will be laid in the pure and immutable principles of private morality." Character was no minor issue to America's first president. He regarded it as the basis of national policy. Where did the founding fathers develop these ideas? Many of these principles stemmed from the Holy Scriptures. The Bible provided early Americans with the instruction and guidance of how to properly govern one's life. These beliefs helped build a nation of strong families and upright leaders. Today, America has dismissed the Bible as the foundation of developing righteous character. Men now leave it to themselves to determine right from wrong. Where has the rejection of biblically based principles led this nation? There is a cause for these effects. To understand the course of events that have led this nation to its current state, visit thetrumpet.com and click on the literature tab to request our free booklet, Character in Crisis.
From the Philadelphia Church of God campus in Edstone, England, this is the Trumpet Daily Program with Stephen Fleury.
On yesterday's program, we talked about the foundation of human civilization, going back to the Garden of Eden, and how that man has been going it alone ever since Genesis 3. When God sent him forth, Adam and Eve, he sent Adam and Eve forth from the Garden of Eden in order to protect, to preserve, to keep the tree, the way of the tree of life. And so he sentenced man to go it alone. Mr. Armstrong writes on page 128 of Mystery of the Ages, he says, "Let us make that point clear. Adam, by choosing to take of the forbidden tree, cut off himself and his family. He cut off himself and his family after him from God. It says, yet because all humans born from Adam have sinned, each human has in fact cut himself off from God. You can read about that in Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2. God says that our iniquities have separated us from God. Our sins have hid his face from us. So he won't hear. He's not hearing our cries. He's not hearing our prayers. We're on our own. And of course, we're just getting farther and farther away from God. Because even the form, even the roles spelled out in Scripture, we're doing away with what was, not that long ago, traditional. Traditional marriage. The traditional family. Back in 1976, I quoted from a few articles a couple days ago on that Entebbe show from 1976. Here's another one from April by Herbert Armstrong in The Plain Truth. And he's talking here about the family breakdown. He says, we've given public acceptance to the misnamed new morality, which is gross immorality. We've given public acceptance to homosexuality, premarital sex, and perversion. We have polluted the sacred institution of marriage. And through a constantly increasing divorce rate, we have started on a course of destroying the home and family relationship, the foundation of any stable society, he said. That is our foundation. A strong, stable family unit. It's the strength of society. It's the strength of a nation. And when that breaks down, so goes the nation with it. It was refreshing a couple days ago to hear from this black athlete. He's been in the NFL for 15 years. And as you'll hear here in a moment, he's a devoted family man. He's got 5 children at present. Two more are on the way. He's the father of 7. And he was saying how that, for one, we need to have more children so that we don't die off as a nation. Literally, he means. But then he gave this strong and hearty endorsement of marriage, family. Talked about how we need to be devoted to our families as fathers. You don't hear this much, certainly not coming from sports stars or celebrities, millionaires. They're not typically held up as champions of family and marriage, as it's defined in the Bible. But here's a rare exception, and really, he should have gotten a whole lot more attention than what he did with this speech that he gave on Saturday. His name's Ben Watson, played for I guess he was a tight end for the New Orleans Saints. 15 years in the league. Devoted father, devoted family man. And he also believes in God and doesn't shy away from quoting Scripture. Listen to what he had to say. This is clip 8.
The psalmist in Psalm 127, 3 through 5 says, behold, children are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children in one's youth. How blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be ashamed when they speak with the enemies at the gate. I love that vision of arrows. Children are like weapons. They are. Children are like weapons that we pull out and that we shoot into culture. Think about the effect that we have when we raise our children the correct way, when we instill values into them. They change culture.
They do. They can change culture for the better. If they're taught the right way, think of the influence that 2 loving parents devoted to their families, think of the influence that they can have on their neighborhood, on the society around them. You consider what this sports star says, and you get a glimpse into the way that God's going to turn all of this around in the wonderful world of tomorrow. Here's a black athlete, a black father, saying that we need to fix what's wrong with the home, with the family first, if we're going to fix the problems in our society. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. He didn't read this verse, but he read the verses that followed it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman wakes but in vain. God has to build the house. God has to build the family. And so as fathers, as mothers, we have to look to Him. We have to build our lives, our families around Him. We have to go to Him for instruction. The psalmist says, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Eternal, and the fruit of the womb is His reward." They're a blessing. They're a gift. They're a weapon. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it. Build that family around the Father the way that Jesus Christ does. Our children are, they're God's heritage. And it's like God's made us to be the stewards over His children for a short time to prepare them for baptism. I've talked about some of these things before, many times, in fact. To prepare them for the kingdom of God, the family of God, God's family administering God's government over all the earth and eventually over all the universe. Listen again to Ben Watson. This is clip 9.
Family is a gift ordained by our Creator. It should be cherished, not mocked, upheld, not ridiculed, kept together, not torn apart.
A wonderful speech. Family is something that we should cherish, that we should uphold, that we should hold together. Where are you hearing this kind of a message today? Except from God's church, I mean. But where do you hear this? This was at a conference, a gathering of conservatives. What a refreshing message. Even on the right, even among conservatives. Even among the Republican Party, you don't hear anything about the so-called culture wars. They're not fighting for family, not like they used to. They've given up. They've thrown in the towel. They've surrendered to all of these anti-family forces, the conspiracies against fatherhood, against marriage, against the traditional family. Well, here's one exception, as I say. One man who is speaking out. He had some strong things to say about some of the things we talked about on this program from a few weeks ago. Those laws in New York, I forget the other state, maybe Virginia, where they're wanting to make it possible to abort a baby, even in the midst of the birth, right up until the appearance of the baby. Skip ahead here to clip 11.
I watched in horror, as many of you did, as New York legislators cheered like they were at the Super Bowl when the bill passed to allow death up until birth, up and through birth. I watched that in horror.
He watched it in horror. These legislators who were cheering like they were at the Super Bowl, like they were at a sporting event. Andrew Cuomo, remember, he made the announcement. It's all in the name of women's rights. And then those politicians cheered. They cheered for the fact that New Yorkers can now abort their babies even an hour, even 30 minutes before the birth. A nine-month-old fetus, baby, human life, whatever you want to call it, the life begins, as Mr. Watson pointed out, it begins at conception. And we, of all people, ought to be pro-life from beginning to end, from conception to all the way to the point of physical death, whenever that might be. And that's what he was saying in his message from last weekend. He spoke out also on just what's happening to marriage and family, to sexuality. This is clip 12.
Another issue that's very tough in our culture right now is sexuality. The lines have been blurred. When it comes to God's best for us, one man, one woman, in the context of marriage for life, that's what he ordained for us. We need to be people who, although we may have had missteps at times, we need to be people that steer culture back to what he has for us.
I love that point, because there's so many people, because of their own mistakes, and Melanie Phillips brought this out in our interview with her last week, they feel guilty because of the way that they've lived. She saw this a lot when she was immersed into that left-wing culture at The Guardian and elsewhere. She saw it in the 1980s. She saw it in the 1990s. Because people who made their own mistakes thought that, well, who am I to speak out against this? He said, he comes right out and says, this is Ben Watson saying, look, even if you've made a misstep, you need to steer it back in the direction of God. You need to steer it back in the direction of one man, one woman, in the context of marriage for life. That's what God ordained. And he's right. And you can see it in the scriptures. But what a slippery slope it is to make the mistake and then say, oh, well, I guess it's impossible. I guess it's impossible to steer it back in the direction that it ought to go. Here is a wise man, an NFL football player, of all people, talking about how we're dying as a culture. We're a civilization in decline. We're a civilization about to collapse. We're dying because of what's happening to the family. Here's another short clip, clip 13.
Because if we don't do what we're called to do, our families, our neighborhoods, our country, our world will suffer because of it.
What we're called to do, this is someone that doesn't even understand the full scope of God's purpose and plan for man, but he knows enough. He knows enough to speak about our calling revolving around family. And he knows enough to talk about the impact that family has on all of civilization, whether for good or evil. One final clip, clip 10.
As a nation, I would say that the strength of our families will ensure our future, or it will condemn it.
The strength of our families, it's either going to ensure our future or it will condemn it. Those last two clips there, very similar to warnings that Mr. Armstrong gave, like the one I gave to you from 1976. The foundation of society, the foundation of our nation, it's the family. Mr. Armstrong wrote in 1985, nothing in this material world is as important as a happy home life with father, mother, and well-taught, happy children, a close-knit family. Why, he asks? Because it strikes at the very heart and core of humanity's future and eternity and the gospel that Jesus Christ proclaimed. This is the gospel message. Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. And what is the kingdom of God? It's the family of God, administering the government of God. This is the solution to all of the problems of this world. And it will be implemented at the return of Christ. But before that, well, just like Mr. Armstrong prophesied in Missing Dimension and Sex, civilization is as we know it, it's on the way down and out. Because of this breakdown, in the family, because the solid family structure, that foundational bulwark, as he called it, it's crumbling before our eyes. And so we're in danger of destroying ourselves. It's a greater threat, as he said in the New Morality book. It's a greater threat than even the hydrogen bomb. If only we could see this. If only we could hear more messages like what a few people heard in Colorado on Saturday from this former NFL player. Recently in epistles class, we just finished going through the book of Ephesians. And this book really does shine light on the family plan, the God family vision. It says here in Ephesians 3, verse 9, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. My father's explained in Prophesy Again how that we have to help all people that come into contact with this church and with this message, we have to help them see the importance of distributing this message or dispensing with this message. We have to help new contacts. We have to help coworkers and donors. We have to help members in God's church to see and to understand. To not only understand the importance of mystery of the ages and other works like that, but to see the importance of giving that message to others so that they can be educated, so that they can teach their families, their children. This is a mystery that's been, well, we covered this in the book of Colossians just this morning. It's been hidden for ages. Verse 10 continues that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. In other words, even the angelic realm, the invisible angels, the righteous angels, not the ones that rebelled with Lucifer, but even the angels are fascinated or dazzled by this plan of God, this plan that's unfolding right in front of them. They're interested in this. How about us? Do we really see the family plan? Do we see the importance of family, both on the physical plane and the spiritual plane? We're made in the image of God, Genesis 1:26. From the very beginning of the Bible, we learn that God set out to reproduce himself. Let us make man in our image and likeness. It's a family plan. And Jesus, when he came in the flesh, you can read this in John 1. He was the Son of God. God looked upon him and said, "My beloved Son." He was begotten at that point, later born into the God kingdom as the Son of God, Romans 1 and verse 4, Colossians 1, 15 and 16, Romans 8, 29, firstborn among many brethren. Firstborn into what? What are you born into when the family is intact? When you have a loving father at the head of the home, you're born into a family. Jesus is the first among many brethren or brothers, other family members. How come the traditional Christian world can't see this? You have to congratulate that football player for seeing as much as he does and then having the courage to speak about it. I was wondering as I listened to his speech just how well received it would have been among his fellow football players. But good for him. The angels peering in, dazzled by this family plan as it plays out. Verse 11, it says, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus, our Lord. This is a purpose that God worked out from the beginning, from the foundation of this world. Revelation 13:8 says that the Lamb was slain. From the foundation of this world, God had a plan. that lamb was slain because of our sins. And because of that sacrifice, we can be reconciled to the Father. And we can live a righteous life. We might make a misstep here and there, but we've got to steer it back on track. We've got to get back to God's standard. The family standard. The family plan. Verse 12 says, in whom, this is Ephesians 3, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. We have boldness in the family of God. We have confidence because of Christ our head. Wherefore, I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. Don't worry about me, Paul says. He was in jail at the time. And he was happy. He could have had a chip on his shoulder. He could have said, well, I'm in here and it's not fair. It's not fair. I'm entitled to this, this, and this. He was locked away for 2 years and then 2 years again at Rome after the incarceration at Caesarea. And he just kept firing out these letters telling the brethren, don't you feel sorry for me. Put your focus on the family of God. Verse 14, he says, for this cause, because of this eternal purpose, because, well, maybe they were fainting somewhat. He says, wherefore, let me just back up. Wherefore, I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause, verse 14, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. The whole family, heaven and earth, named after the Father. We are of the God family. That is man's incredible human potential. That is our calling. To expand upon those statements by Mr. Watson, he referred to our calling. He referred to the physical family. Let's extend that on out into the universe. The whole family in heaven and earth. Now, you can study into that word family. It means what it means. Just accept the Bible for what it says. But if you want to study further, that Greek word patria, P-A-T-R-I-A, it's used elsewhere in the New Testament, where it's translated as family, like here in Ephesians, lineage in Luke chapter 2, and kindreds in Acts chapter 3. So, family, your lineage, your kindreds, your progeny, your children. And in all three of those passages, it's speaking of, in the case of Luke 2, the family of David, and then the family of Abraham in Acts 3. And right here in Ephesians 3 and verse 15, it says it outright. It's in the King James Version. Here's the proper translation, right there in black and white. The whole family in heaven and earth. That's speaking of God's family. It's a family plan. It has been from the beginning. Think of it. It says in verse 16 that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, strengthened with the might of God. God as a told the class this morning, there's a verse very similar to this over in Colossians 1. God is a tremendous source of power and energy. God our Father, this is why our lives must revolve around Him. This is why we go to that source with passion and zeal every day to receive energy, to receive inspiration, to receive understanding, and wisdom, and knowledge, so that we can grow, so that we can grow in character. Okay, supposing you've made a misstep to use the word that Ben Watson used, how do you get back on track? How do you put away those sins? How do you come out of worldliness? How are you washed and purified? Well, it's through that sacrifice of Jesus Christ and the cleansing power of God's Holy Spirit. And of course, your willingness to make changes. Repentance, in other words. Repentance, faith, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by the Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love, he talks about this same foundation in Colossians 1, rooted and grounded in the hope of the gospel, the God family plan, if you're rooted in that, read it in Colossians 1:23. Well, that's what will keep you strong. Strong and stable. I don't have that in my notes here. Let me just turn over to... This was something that we, as I said, we were studying this morning in Epistles class. The first chapter of Colossians, chapter 2 as well. But notice Colossians 1. And verse 22, it says, in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. This is speaking of Christ. If, it says, verse 23, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you've heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, wherefore I, Paul, and made a minister, rooted and grounded, settled in the hope of the gospel of the kingdom of God, rooted and grounded in the family of God, filled with Jesus Christ, our head, the head of the church, our husband. Read about that in Ephesians 5, as I say, the whole book, Ephesians 3, Ephesians 5, from beginning to end. It's the God family vision. Verse 18, switching back to Ephesians 3, let me just finish the chapter before we conclude. It says, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. There's so much depth to God's family plan. What a blessing it is. This plan, this vision that's been hid from for the ages, hid from man, because we're cut off from God. And yet God has made it known to a few of us in advance so that we can then take this vision, so that we can then take this message and teach it to the whole world. Verse 19 says, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. That is power. That is strength. That is energy. Have we really reached the depths of what God's love, God's family love, is all about? How much deeper can we go? How many more sacrifices can we make for the family of God, for our own physical families? How much more can we serve the family, whether physical or spiritual, and really view the offspring, the lineage, the children, as the precious gifts that they are, or even weapons that we can unleash on society, unleash for the good of popular culture or society around us. Verse 20, it says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. This is such a confidence-boosting verse. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask for or even think about. God empowers us. We can do greater things because of God's power working in us. We can do things that our limited minds can't even imagine because of God's power. Verse 21 says, "Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus through all ages, throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." The church, the family of God, the bride of Christ, the church will reflect the glory of Christ throughout all ages. This marriage between Christ and the church, this family established by God the Father for all eternity, reflecting the glory of God's character. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. If you'd like to email feedback, any comments, any suggestions, you can send them to td@kpcg.fm. Thank you for joining us on today's program, and we'll see you tomorrow.